trouble with the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees. Now, they're already planning some way to destroy him, to kill him. But Jesus is also having struggles with other entities, other groups. Throughout Mark and throughout the Gospels, there's the general crowd. And in Mark chapter 3 and also in Mark chapter 4, the crowd, the language is subtle, but it's starting to turn a little bit ominous. Already in chapter 3, Jesus is feeling kind of pressed in. They're not just gathering around to hear, but they're closing in on him. If Jesus was claustrophobic, this would be his worst nightmare. And so already in Mark 3, he tells his disciples, listen, when I'm at the lake, have a boat ready so I can stand in the boat so that the crowd isn't pressing in on me so much when I teach them. And then there's his own family. In Mark chapter 3, his family thinks he's crazy. The family of Christ think he's out of his mind, and they're trying to kind of separate him and pull him back a little bit. And to all that, to all those entities, to all those crowds, Jesus starts teaching in parables, in stories. He starts to teach in a way that is a little bit mysterious. And he begins with this very famous parable of the sower. In this parable, there are essentially three main types of characters. There's the soils, there's a sower, and then there's the seed. Now, the sower is pretty easy to understand. It's Jesus, the one who is proclaiming this message. And actually, now though, as Christians, now this time after Easter, we actually have a role as being sowers as well, as sowing the seed of Christ. So the sower is Jesus. And the seed, Jesus tells us, is his own word. It's the message of the gospel, the good news that the reign and the rule of God has come to earth, and it is embodied in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. And that message that Christ is giving out is to repent and to believe this very thing. That is the seed. And the sower is spreading that seed everywhere. And then there are the soils. And this is where things start to get interesting. The soils represent four different ways that people respond to this word that Jesus is sowing. And the admonition that Jesus gives in regard to this parable isn't to say, be this soil or don't be this soil. The one admonition that Jesus gives in this parable is that you better hear, that you should listen to the words that Jesus is saying. And as I taught an adult Bible study a few weeks back, when we hear that word hear or listen in the gospel, think of it this way. When Elijah is misbehaving, oftentimes what I'll do is I'll just look at him and I'll go like this. I'll just kind of start pointing to my ear. And what's implied in that? That he should hear, but part of hearing is also obeying. The two go hand in hand. And in Greek, in the Gospels, those two words are almost identical. They're built off of each other. To listen is to obey. To obey is to hear and do, to hearken to. This is what Christ is telling the people who are hearing his parable. Listen, hear what I am telling you. Hear this word. And so then he goes into the parable. This parable is a word of judgment against those who are hearing the word of Christ but aren't hearkening to it. And it's also a word of warning against those things that would make us into bad soil. But thanks be to God that, like the disciples, we have Christ's explanation, which we're going to go through now. So Christ tells this parable, and he explains it to his disciples later on, and he tells them that the first soil, the path, the seed that's sown on the path, is those who hear the word, But Satan immediately comes and swallows it up, eats up that word, takes that away. If any of you are gardeners, you're like us, you have in your garden certain places where you always walk. For us, the path in our garden almost every year is the same. And every year when I go in to break up the garden with my shovel, that part of the garden is the most difficult to break up because it's been compacted so much. Seed, it's hard to get that seed in there. Jesus says that those who are seed scattered on the road are like those who hear the word, but immediately, because that seed is exposed, Satan comes and swallows it up. He's probably giving a word against the Pharisees who in the last chapter accused Jesus of himself being Satan. And so Jesus is flipping the tables on them saying, no, Satan has come and taken the word from you. You haven't heard anything that I'm saying. That's a seed scattered on the road. The second and third seeds, though, I think, or soils, I think are more applicable to us immediately and more important for us to hear. The second seed, the second soil that Christ talks about, he says, is seed that is scattered on rocky ground. And he says, this is the seed that, these are those who hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. But once difficulties arise, once hard times come, and oftentimes these hard times come because of the word itself, then they find that they're not very deep-rooted. And when those hard times come, it's like when the sun comes on a plant that isn't deep-rooted, it shrivels up and it goes away. Seeds scattered on the rocky ground are those who hear the word and receive it with joy, but when persecution, tribulation, hard times come, they give up and fall away. These are those who are shallow-rooted, who are rooted and dependent upon their own strength rather than the strength of the one who sowed the word to begin with. They trust in themselves rather than in God's grace. Because the reality is that we live in a world of hardships. We live in a world of pain. We live in a world that is full of tribulations and persecutions. Christ warns his disciples, listen, being a follower of me means you carry a cross as well. And that cross isn't easy. Jesus didn't promise that following him, that being a Christian, would be easy. In fact, he said it was the opposite. It's really difficult. It means you carry a cross that is suffering, a cross that is resisting temptation, a cross that means knowing that even in the darkest times, the Lord is in control. But seed that is scattered on rocky ground doesn't have root. And when the hard times come, itself can become scorched and die. I think Christ's own disciples actually are an example of this. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, they're kind of dumb. They never understand what Jesus is talking about. And when Jesus is arrested and is taken to trial, every single one of them scatters. They flee. And when Jesus is on the cross and dying for their sins, he is utterly alone. They heard the word. They received it with joy. But when difficult and persecution and hard times came, they shriveled and were gone. The third seed, I think, is especially important for those of us living in this country and this state of bounty. The third seed is seed that is scattered amongst thorns. And here, these are people who hear the word, they receive it, but they're consumed by the cares of this world. They're deceived by riches and possessions. And so these riches and these possessions and the cares of the world choke out the word that was sown. In my garden, this is anytime we plant like a vine, like a vining squash or a watermelon or all those ground cherries that are all over our whole yard, if we let these things go, they will choke out the plants that we want to grow in their place. In our lives, again, as followers of Christ, Christ never promised that we would have a glorious bounty of possessions, that we would have a giant house, or that we would be financially incredibly well off. In fact, he often said the opposite. In fact, Jesus lived the opposite. He himself said he has no place to put his head at night. The disciples gave up all sorts of things to follow him. The cares of this world, the desire and deceitfulness of riches and possessions, they can choke out the word. And as Christ says in this parable, they will make those who have the word unproductive, unfruitful, not worth having in the garden, frankly. And later on in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus will see a fig tree that he gets mad at for not producing figs. And the next day, that fig tree is shriveled up and taken away, pruned and gone. The world can choke out the seed that is scattered. All three of the soils, the road, the rocky ground, the thorns, match up pretty well to what Luther liked to refer to as the unholy trinity. The world, well, Satan, the world, and our own sinful flesh. And this unholy trinity wants to do whatever it can to remove the seed that God has planted among us. He doesn't want us to be productive and to be light out into this world. He wants it hidden, if not extinguished. And then Jesus talks about the fourth seed, the seed scattered on good soil. And he says, this is a seed that is scattered on good soil. This is those who hear the word. They accept it. They believe it. They receive it. And as people who receive it, they produce in great abundance. They produce far more than what was planted. As we hear this message today, what we need to know is the same thing that's true, again, of my garden. When we first got here, that soil was pretty rough. There were weeds everywhere. There was grass growing in there. We had to kind of till it up and work it. And every year since then, we are constantly working. We're removing the things that we don't want there, the weeds, and we're putting things into the soil like good peat and manure and things like that. And we're doing everything we can every year to amend the soil in some way so that it is better and better and better. But who is the active agent in that? Because I'll tell you right now, the soil itself can't make itself good. If it did, hallelujah, gardening would be so much more fun and a lot easier. But the thing that makes the soil good is mine and Annie's own actions upon it. You don't make yourself good soil. The Lord himself does that work for you. He is the master gardener. So today, hear the word of Christ. Listen to it. Obey. Hearken to what Christ is telling you in this gospel message today. And trust that the Lord is making you to be good soil. And how do we become good soil? We're purely by the grace of God. And what makes a soil like you and I good? It's by being constantly nourished, constantly fed, constantly worked on by God, weeded and nurtured. We are nurtured by the word and sacrament. We are weeded when we hear God's law and understand that there are things we are not to do, and the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, works in us to remove those things. God is at work in you to make you good soil. So today, do not let your hearts be hardened, but hear the word of Christ and come and be nurtured by him. Amen.